everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was a little different for us this year. We had two different celebrations, gatherings. They were both small, which entailed in me eating way too much food. Because, you know, you don't want to offend the people that cooked all that food, and I just have to do my part. But we had a great time, and, you know, sometimes small is better, I think, for us this year. It just seems like the fellowship is sweeter because there's not so many conversations going on, and we were able to gather with these folks. Jordy and Delaney, and that was it. So Victor Jackson, my son, may be exposed to the virus, and so he's keeping that one. One of those Jackson. Pray for him that he'll be smart about it. He's getting tested today. So Luke chapter 17, that's where I want to start. God showed me this passage and reminded me of this passage. It's a very familiar passage to some of us. But in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11, we can see there's 10 lepers. And maybe somebody doesn't know what a leper means or what leprosy represents or what it pictures in the Bible. But leprosy is a picture of sin. So what we see here is 10 lepers rolling through life, and in these times, a leper was an outcast. We're not allowed to be around other people, kind of like the virus today. Right? You're supposed to quarantine. You're supposed to be away from everyone else. So we see these 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, and I want to read this passage to you. We'll touch on it a little bit throughout the passage today, but in Luke 17 verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. They lifted up their voice and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, which he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Remember that question, church. There are none found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And in verse 19, and he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And this passage, today's all about giving thanks. Okay, it's Thanksgiving, so we're talking about giving thanks. And we're going to be in Psalm chapter 107, and I could have picked several passages that spoke the very words that we're going to speak about today. But God took me to Luke chapter 17 about truly giving thanks. Because there was 10 lepers, and they were rolling down the road, and they see Jesus, right? And he doesn't reach out and touch them and heal them. He doesn't say, "You guys are healed." He just gives them instruction to say, "Go see the priest." Just being in the presence of Christ healed them. Just being in the presence of Christ cleansed them. That's powerful. He just said, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it says, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. What a miracle. Oftentimes, especially in these days, people thought they needed to touch just the hem of his garment to be cleansed. This needed to be in the presence. They were cleansed. They were not lepers anymore. But the point here is that there was 10. There was 10 lepers, and only one returned to give thanks. Only one turned and gave glory to God. And that is Christianity today, church. Because the problem with Christianity today is they're just looking for a band-aid. They're just looking for a get fixed quick. And then they just keep on rolling. They're cleansed. They're not a sinner anymore. And then they just merge right back into traffic. But this one pictures what a true born-again believer is and how thankful he was because of the change that Jesus made in his life. Because of the new life that he had received. Because he was a leper, he couldn't be around people. He was a leper, so he was an outcast. And now he's made new. He's not a leper anymore. And he can be around people. But most of all, he can do what he was created to do. We're blessed because we have life. But we are more blessed because we have been offered life everlasting in heaven. And this one leper of the 10, 1 out of 10, that's not a very good percentage, turned and gave thanks to God. This gift that Jesus offered these lepers without even speaking it is offered to the whole entire world. It's a gift that that the world often takes granted of. It's a gift that Christians often take granted of. They take it and say, okay, I'm not going to hell, but I can go live like I'm going to hell. It's a gift that we receive when we surrender our lives to Christ. But it's far more than that, because God gives us new life. And we're going to talk about three things today. Because with this new life comes purpose, comes responsibility, and also comes opportunity. Purpose, responsibility, and opportunity. What do we do with these three things in our life? That's the question. What is your purpose? The church answer is to glorify and praise God. But what is your purpose in life? These are personal questions that we need to ask ourselves. What is my purpose? What is my responsibility? The church answer is to be thankful and to tell others what God has done in our life and what he's offering to the world. But what is our responsibility? And what are the opportunities that we have in this life? The opportunity is everyone around us. We all are surrounded by people, maybe some more than others, but the opportunity is great. So if you've held your place in Psalm 107, if not, go to Psalms 107. We're going to be in Psalm 107 verses 1 through 9. And Psalm 107 verse 1 is repeated throughout the Bible several different times. But God took me to Psalm 107 because this is where he wanted me to be, because there's some good stuff coming along with it in verses 2 through 9. But in Psalm 107 verse 1, let's just read 1 through 9 and then we'll get there. So Psalm 107 verse 1 starts with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth from the right way, by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and fulfilleth the hungry soul with goodness." Let's pray. Father God, we pray today that we would cry out to you. God, that we would cry out because our soul is hungry. Oftentimes we starve it. Oftentimes we quench the spirit. But God, I pray today that we would cry out to you. God, fill us with your spirit. God, allow us to be able to walk in the Spirit. Allow us to be able to crucify the flesh that only you can do. But God, let us give us the desire to not walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. And God, let us most of all give thanks because of the finished work of the cross, because of the power that we have through Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for life, life everlasting, for purpose, for opportunities, for responsibilities. And God, that you would open our eyes to those three things today. God, especially in the time that we live in today, the purpose, the responsibility, and the opportunities are great if we would just look, if we would just ask you to show us, ask us our eyes to be opened to what's before us. God, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how often do we stop and just thank God? Well, every day, right? We thank God every day. But how often do you truly stop and just tell God how thankful you are? How often are you one of the 10? Now, I'm not talking about, God, thank you for this food because, you know, it's holy to pray before we eat, right? I'm talking about how often do we stop and truly cry out to God and thank Him for what He's given us. And I'm not talking about the provision. I'm not talking about food, money, clothing, and all that. I'm talking about for this life. How often do we stop and thank God for the mercy that He shows us that endures forever? That mercy that He showed us when He sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for us in our place, to pay the penalty, to pay the sin debt, to die, to be buried and rise, to be risen again the third day. How often do we stop and thank God for that? I don't do it near often enough. Really, there should be no other thing that we do. You know, the Bible tells us that there's none good, no, not one. Jesus Himself in Mark chapter 10, verse 18 says this, "Why callest me, thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God." Jesus was God in the flesh. He was perfect in every single way. Perfect. The greatest example that God could put on this earth. But yet He pointed others to the Father. He didn't desire the spotlight to be shined on Him and say, "Look at me, I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God." He had a purpose, He had a responsibility, and He had opportunities. His purpose was to glorify and fulfill the will of the one that sent Him. Because in John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40, it says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, not to fulfill what I want to do, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up again in the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day." Purpose, opportunity, and responsibility. God just doesn't desire just to save us. Okay, and I know that we know this, but He doesn't desire just to save us from going to hell and spending eternity in hell. He desires to use us. Despite ourselves, because really, if we were to give God our resume, He would be like, "What is this?" Right? But He desires to use us because of the one that lives inside of us. He has given us purpose, responsibility, and opportunity, but can we see them? Are you aware of them? Our text today says the word mercy. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." At its core, that word mercy there means forgiveness. There's a great meaning behind the word mercy, but at its core, it means forgiveness. God's forgiveness endureth forever. It's not something that He takes back when He feels like it. Just as He healed all 10 lepers, right, back in Luke chapter 17, even 9 that went, He didn't give them their leprosy back like, "Oh, you're not going to praise me for that? Boom, you have leprosy again." They chose to go their way. One chose to come to Jesus. God doesn't take back His mercy. He doesn't shut off His mercy. He loved the world enough to send Jesus, and He will not renege on that promise either. He's not going to say, "Well, you know what? That's all. Those that believe in one day, that's going to be it." But He's still pouring out His mercy today. And people around the world still have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to accept that mercy, to accept that forgiveness. The work's been done. It's finished. It's now in the court of mankind. Okay? So God said, "I'm going to send Jesus Christ. This is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And now you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to believe by faith the gospel, the finished work of the cross. You have an opportunity to have a changed life, to have new life, and then to spend eternity with me. He's not going to take that back. He's not going to say, "No, you aren't good enough for that." God is willing to offer this mercy to all men, the whole world, not just part. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. How can we not thank Him for what He's done for us? You know, we're thankful for many things. I'm thankful we can meet today. I'm thankful that we have another day together. I'm thankful that we can fellowship around God's Word together today. But most of all, I'm thankful for my new name. Because God calls me His child. I am now a child of God. I'm thankful that I am called His child. I'm thankful for His love in my life. And how can I not be thankful for that, church? How can we not be thankful for that? My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have an eternal Father that loves me more than anyone could ever love me. My wife loves me a lot, but not near as much as God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. God is good, right? We say that all the time. But do we truly understand God's goodness? Do we truly understand how good God is? Because there's nothing good but God. I ate a lot of good food over the past week, but it's not that good because it wears off. It makes me feel bad. Makes me fat. Makes my jeans not fit. All of those things. There's things that come along with what we think is good, but with God's goodness, there's no baggage. There's no repercussion. There's no things that are going to change. It's not going to wear off. We don't need to go searching for something else good because He is good. For He is good and His mercy endureth forever. We live by God's mercy every day. But that mercy was poured out over 2,000 years ago. How is that not good enough for us today? Why would we want more? Well, we need it, right? We need more. We all fall short of the glory of God, but He loves us and pours out His mercy out on us every day, even when we don't deserve it. We often find ourselves fighting against the ways of God. Maybe this is just me. We often find ourselves fighting against His goodness because that mercy, we don't feel like we deserve it. Or we're not doing what we were created to be. We often find ourselves fighting against the ways of God. We often find ourselves fighting against His goodness because we truly don't want goodness. Or we truly don't know what that goodness is. We look at that goodness as something that benefits us in that moment. This is why we walk and we feed the flesh so much. God's goodness is what sustains us. God's goodness is something that we truly don't understand. God's goodness is something that we cannot recreate. Forever, that mercy that endures forever, that's a long time. There's no end to forever. So these following verses, verses 2 through 9 today, we're going to look at these. And in verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The concept of redemption relates to recovering lost property. Okay? So if you lose something, you want to redeem it. You want to go out and you want to find it and you want it back. Okay? You will do whatever it takes to find that, especially depending on how important it is to you. Think about yourself. You once were lost. Maybe you still are. But God desires to redeem you. He desires to redeem you. He desires to recover you from the state of being lost. So if you're born again today, you've been redeemed. You've been found. You were lost and wandering, and now you're found. You're found in the arms of protection of God. He is your Father, and you're His child. If you back up to Psalm 106, verse 10, one page, it says this, it says, and He saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Though as a lost man, we do not understand this, that Satan hates us. We think we have such a great life and we're building this kingdom, but it's all a trap from the enemy. He hates us and he desires us to fail. He desires us to see us walk in the ways that please ourselves, to walk in a way that is contrary to what God created man to do back in the garden. Satan desires to destroy life, not give it. He desires nothing good. If you study out Satan, if you just study out what he is desiring for mankind, there's nothing good that's going to come of it. God, on the other hand, desires to see the lost be saved. He desires for mankind to turn back to him. He desires that. He desires to see mankind born again. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. That's what Jesus says. So in verses 3 through 9 is where we're going to spend the remaining of our time. Let me read them. It says, "And he gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way and found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and fulfilleth the hungry soul with goodness." The nation of Israel was in a mess. They were wandering around for 40 years. They are what you call lost. Their journey was like one of those that your dad took a shortcut when you were a child. Maybe you guys are children still and your dad's like, "We're taking a shortcut," and 4 hours later, you get there. Right? Like, that was a real shortcut, Dad. My dad was famous for that. "We're going to take a shortcut," which meant we're not doing anything the rest of the day. The children of Israel were like that. "We're going to take a shortcut, but it's going to take 40 years because we're not going to go the way we're supposed to go. We're going to take it into our own hands and we're going to do the things we want to do." Their shortcut took 40 years, but God loved them and made a way for them. Because they had purpose, responsibility, and opportunity. He provided for them, he protected them, just as he does for you and I. We wander around this God-forsaken land trying to find our way, taking shortcut after shortcut after shortcut, wasting so much time when the way has already been made, and we don't understand why our life's a mess. We were lost and had no idea how to get where we were supposed to be going before we met Jesus. We were lost, God. But God knows. He knew that we needed help. He sent someone or something to show us the way. Obviously, Jesus Christ is the way, but he placed someone or something in our life to get us to stop and ask for directions, because we don't like doing that. We're taking a shortcut. We don't ask for directions. We'll get where we're going 40 years later. In my case, it was 28. For 28 years, I was trying to take a shortcut. For 28 years, I wandered around this life that God had given me. And nothing good came of it. Now, there's some good things that came of it, but nothing of God. He gives us the direction that we need to find the way, because he is the way. And if we're here today, he has sustained us. He's given us his mercy. He's provided for us. He's protected us through, though we were as an enemy to him, he still showed his love toward us. He still poured out his mercy. In verse 5, it says that they were hungry and thirsty and their souls fainted in them. We are likened to these people. We are no different. They are God's chosen people, yes. But who are we? We are his children. How often do we cry out to God, before you were saved? I was thinking about this. How often did I cry out to a God that I did not believe in, that I did not know, but still cried out to him, asking for help, asking for whatever it was, in my selfish prayers as I was a lost child, as I was a lost man? How often did I cry out to a God I did not believe in? A lot. And though they were probably selfish cries, selfish prayers, he heard them. And in his timing, I came to know him. How often do we pray to a God that we didn't know? How often did he show his mercy to you? A lot, because we're here today. None of us were born perfect. None of us were born a child of God. You know, we may have had the most amazing Christian parents. I did not. But maybe some of us had the most amazing Christian parents. But he has to be our God and not their God. We had to make a personal decision, not their decision. We had to make a choice. He showed us his love over and over and over again before our eyes were opened, before we seen the way, before we met Jesus. And then if we jump ahead in verse 9 in our text, it says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and fulfilleth the hungry soul with goodness." He satisfies the longing soul. In Isaiah 58, it says this. Sorry, I don't have this one written down. Isaiah 58, verse 11, it says this. Sorry. It says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." God is the only one that can do that. He is the only one that can fill the hungry. It's not a temporary fix. It's not something that wears off. And in Philippians chapter 4, we read what Paul wrote here in Philippians 4, verse 11. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Paul's like, "I'm not asking you guys for something. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Because he needed to rely on Jesus. Church, we need to rely on Jesus. That's what we have to do. Because God will provide for us. Because if you go ahead to 19 in Philippians 4, it says, "But my God shall supply all my need, all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's where our help comes from. It's not a temporary fix. It's eternal, church. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of God today if we're saved. We will never hunger or thirst again. And I'm not talking about physical, because I get hungry every 5 minutes, okay? I do. I eat something, my body's super digested, I'm like, let's eat again. But God satisfies my soul, and nothing else could do this. There's no green bean casserole out there that can satisfy my soul. But his word can. He can. The verse says that he fills it with goodness. And that can only come from him. In our text today. There's nothing good that can come of anything except through God. So in our text in verse 6 it says that they cried to the Lord in their troubles. And we know that they had a lot of them. Okay? They cried, and what did God do? The nation of Israel is wandering around crying and moaning and complaining and murmuring and all of these things. And what did he do? He provided for them. Even when they complained about what he provided for. And yet he continued to do this. He continued to pour out his mercy because they had a purpose, a responsibility, an opportunity. And he had that for them. Verse 7 says that he led them in the right way. He showed them the way to the land that he desired for them. He didn't hide from them. He didn't confuse them. He led them. Why did he do this? Because he loved them. And so that they could do what they were created to do. To praise the Lord. And what a testimony of mercy that we see there. God poured it out in so many ways. And how can we as the body of Christ not be thankful today? Because in verse 8 it says that men would praise the Lord. What does God want from us? For man to praise him. That's what he wants. Why? Because he's good. He's the only good. But don't forget, believer, that he dwells inside of you. And all his goodness should pour out of you. Well, I'm not good. There's none good but God. God lives in us, believers. We have goodness in us. We have eternal goodness in us. The problem is we cover it up with flesh. And we don't allow God's goodness to pour out of us. We don't allow the opportunity, the responsibility that God gives us. We don't allow it to be used for his purpose. Is God's goodness pouring out of you? We should have so much to be thankful for today. We are a blessed people group. But what are we truly most thankful for? We can make a list, And I've done this before. I've made a list of all the things I'm thankful for, and the list is like never ending, because you're never going to run out of things that you're thankful for. You know, to be thankful is to be full of thanksgiving, to be overflowing, full of thanks. What's on your list today? Salvation, health, wealth, friends, family, blah. I mean, the list is forever. But what are we truly most thankful for today? Our text says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. I'm thankful God came down in the form of a man to pay the penalty that I could not pay. And he met me right there in the ditch that I was lying in at rock bottom and extended his arm of grace and pulled me up out of the muck and the mire. And what did he do? He gave me purpose. He gave me desire. He gave me responsibility and opportunity. And what about you? Maybe you've not experienced that today. Maybe you don't know what that is today. Maybe you need to meet Jesus. Maybe you're searching, but maybe it's in the wrong places. Stop searching, because Jesus is all we need today. What are we thankful for today, church? We could pause and we could give the opportunity for the room to share all the things we're thankful for. And you know, a lot of them would be the same, because we're all thankful for a lot of the same things. But what are you personally most thankful for today, church? You should know. Really, that shouldn't be something that we have to like ponder upon. Yeah, there's a lot of things, but what is the most important thing that you're thankful for? Do you know your purpose today? This is a short message today. Do you know your responsibility today? Do you know your opportunities today? Your purpose is to glorify God. You do that with your life. And your purpose is to glorify Him while you reproduce. Your purpose is to, all three of these go hand in hand, and they have to work together to do the purpose of God. Because we have a responsibility to do, that is to speak and to live God's word to those that are around us. That's where the opportunities come in. We let opportunities go by every day. That we have opportunities to share God's love, to share what He's done in our life, to be a living example of what God is doing through mankind. But yet we don't want to do the purpose. We don't want to have responsibility. We don't want to do the see the opportunities. We just want to go through this life and just be skate on through, straight on into eternity. But that's not what God's desire was. Yes, God's desire was to save us, right? To be reconciled back to Him so that He could use us despite ourselves to bring honor and glory to Him. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We need to be doing that today, church. We need to be telling people how good God is in this God-forsaken land, in this land that is not getting any better, but we have opportunities for it to be. We can blame it on the government and on our authorities and all of this and all of that, but we have an opportunity and a responsibility. And if we're doing our purpose, things are going to change. And it only takes one. And then it's, right? Somebody's got to take the first step. Somebody's got to take the initiative to do something about it. And I think that God is telling us that we need to do that. We need to give thanks for the purpose, the responsibility, and the opportunities that God's given us. He will direct us as we're wandering around, wasting time, taking wrong turns. His mercy endures forever. So when we think that we're off on a rabbit trail, stop. Thank God for His goodness and for His mercy, and ask for directions. Okay? Lay down our pride, humble ourselves, and cry out to God. Because He wants to direct every step of our lives. Not just a season and a time, but everything about it. He wants to do that today. Will we allow that to happen today, church? That's our question. Will we give God thanks truly for what we're thankful for? Maybe we're wandering in the wilderness today. He's going to lead us where we need to go if we allow Him to do that. He satisfies the longing soul and fulfilleth the hungry. He fills it with His goodness. We have His goodness, church. We We need to be filled with it. Let's pray.